welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhardt, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Tonight's matchup is a Division III state semifinal as DeSales takes on Akron Hoban. And now here's Randy Reinhardt and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
Well, let's see if we can top last night or this afternoon when it comes to high school and college football. Larry, you look at this matchup tonight between Hoban and DeSales. Can the Stallions have enough horses to take on this team from Northeast Ohio?
Well, if you needed a blueprint for victory, all you had to do is watch what Hartley did last night. DeSales needs to keep the offense on the field and keep their defense off the field. If they do that, they're going to have a chance to win this game.
Great night for high school football. If you're not coming to Mansfield, we encourage you to listen to us for the next couple hours. Should be a lot of fun. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we'll talk to both head coaches. As we remind you, this is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because you and the sunrise have a lot in common. The hope of a new day and brighter tomorrows. And because you, like the sun, can light up the whole world too. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we offer the very best in patient-centered cancer care. Why we provide a special certified nurse navigator to guide and comfort you every step of the way. And why we hold dedicated cancer conferences led by top specialists to ensure the best treatment plan for each newly diagnosed patient. You are the reason we provide social workers and dietitians especially for cancer patients, and why we offer education, support groups, and survivorship programs during and after treatment to help you live your new life. Because with each new day, with every sunrise, some people just can't imagine the world without you in it. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
Do you have a child in college? Education First Credit Union offers a private student loan solution with your financial best interest in mind. Our private student loan features zero loan fees, low interest rates, the option to defer all payments while in school, no prepayment penalty, and the convenience of a line of credit. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Knights. We're talking with Tim Turrell. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the season. Give us an overview of the 2016 campaign, if you will, for the Knights.
Well, thanks for having me. And the overview would be, we played a very tough schedule. I think we were ranked number 2 in the state, Division III, toughest schedule, the second toughest schedule in Division III. So, we try to play as many good teams as we possibly can in those first five games. We ended up 4-1 going to those first five games and playing some tough teams with the defending Division I state champion St. Ed and St. Vincent, St. Mary, who's always a playoff team, has won a couple state championships in Division III in the last 5 years. So try to, and Camp McKinley is another big time D1 program up around here. So played those programs. Ursuline, the Division V school, has won a bunch of state championships. So then we go into league, which is, we play the North Coast League, which is a very tough league with Cleveland Benedictine, Walsh Jesuit, and Notre Dame Cathedral Latin. They made a good run in the Division IV playoffs this year. Padua, Lake Catholic, who's traditionally a really good program. So we kind of separated into two separate seasons in the regular season. So was successful. First time since 2006 we won the North Coast League. So we thought coming through the regular season, we stayed predominantly healthy and still had a successful season.
You've got a potent offense. Let's talk about some of the leaders there. Among them, Danny Clark, I know, a quarterback who's going to go to Kentucky. Talk about him and his partners in the backfield, if you will.
Danny, first off, he's just he's been a great kid to coach. He's not a stat kid. know, if we have to throw the ball 35 times, he's just as happy as if he threw it 9. You know, his big thing is you know, since he knows he's playing Major Division One, college football wasn't something that he was, you know, he's trying to chase a scholarship or anything else like that. His main focus is winning. And he's a great leader, as well as a great player. And then, you know, in the backfield with him is Todd Sibley, who's, you know, one of the top backs in the state of Ohio, you know, stat-wise, and you know, he's going to Pitt.
And Coach finally keys to victory tonight. What do you have to do to come out on top?
The biggest thing, I think, is the team that doesn't give up the big play with their defense, and then the team that doesn't turn the ball over on offense will win the game. I think it's, you know, two evenly matched teams and two good programs. And, you know, it's just the smallest little thing will cost the game.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual, full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick-cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Stallions, Ryan Wiggins. And Coach, look back, if you will, on the game with Hamilton Township. What did you take out of that contest with the Rangers?
Well, I liked the way we played overall as a team. I thought defensively in the first half we were really able to keep them from getting on the board. There were some times where they had the ball in good field position or even in the red zone, and we were able to get stops there and give our offense a chance to get themselves on track, which I thought they did. Offensively, we had good balance. We threw the football well. We, you know, had some different people score, still established our running game like we wanted to, and had good play action off of it. And I thought our special teams did a pretty decent job as well. So we played a pretty complete game in all areas.
How rare is it to watch a guy who weighs 245 pounds pull away from folks on a 98-yard run, and by midfield he's all by himself?
It's pretty rare. You know, we've seen that a lot this year with Alonzo. He's been able to make plays, and more than just being big and strong and making someone miss, the breakaway speed when he gets in the open field is something that's been very impressive. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, I didn't think we ran a quarterback sneak on first down just to try to get a little breathing room. When you get down there, you just want to give yourself some space, and to turn it into a 98-yard touchdown was pretty special.
Talk about the play of some of the guys in the line, like Drew McLuckie, for example. It seemed like he had a great game on both sides of the football.
Yes, and Drew's been one of our guys now for 3 years, so 30-plus games that he's played in, and he's done a great job. He's a very athletic guy, did a nice job at the end last week. They had trouble handling him off the edge and having trouble trying to block him one-on-one, and then offensive line. I mean, when we've performed as well as we've performed offensively running the football, certainly a lot of credit has to go to the guys up front. And he anchors that offensive line. He's been a three-year starter at offensive tackle. So it's been a great career, and hopefully we get a couple more good performances out of Drew.
Talk about Hoban and the contest tonight. What do you guys have to do to come out on top in this contest?
Well, it's a very good team all the way around. Don't really see any glaring weaknesses or anything like that. Very solid at every position and really talented at many or most of the positions. They're going to try to establish a physicality within their front, and we're going to try to do the same. I think we're going to have to try to win in that area, be, you know, match them punch for punch, and then maybe even get an extra possession here or there. Cannot turn the football over. Need to keep their offense off the field. Need to try to harness all these big play athletes they have and not allow them to hurt us down the field and hurt us on big plays. Really need to play a complete football game. I mean, their special teams also stand out as a strength of their team, and I think ours have been a strength of our team at times too. So it's going to be a battle of two well-matched, two solid football teams.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
Okay, thanks.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, is presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Instead of trading in your old car, truck, or van, think about donating it to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. In fact, St. Gabriel Radio is a nonprofit that accepts all vehicle donations. Your gift helps to spread the word of God to a multitude of listeners all over Ohio and may qualify you for a tax break. It's easy and hassle-free. Call 614-459-4820 or visit us online at stgabrielradio.com.
St. Gabriel Catholic Radio is looking for listeners like you to serve as parish ambassadors. Parish ambassadors work with your parish team to provide AM 820 bumper magnets and prayer cards. Be a disciple of Christ and help us spread the news of Catholic Radio in your parish. If you would like to serve as St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 parish ambassador, contact the St. Gabriel Radio office or go online at stgabrielradio.com.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need every step of the way. Through your hospital treatment, and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
Good evening and welcome to the CCL Football Game of the Week. And man, we can only hope that tonight's game, as good as the one that we had here last night for you right here on AM 820. Ryan Baker here in the studios of AM 820. And let's get you caught up on what happened last night in case you missed it. In Division 4, it was our game of the week. Hartley is moving on to their second straight state title game as they look to defend their championship. They knocked off Kettering Alter last night, 14-7, setting up a matchup for this coming weekend, Hartley versus Steubenville, for the second year in a row in the Division IV state title game. Of course, we will carry that for you right here on AM 820. Kickoff for that is this coming Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Other than the Hartley win, though, it was not a good night for Central Ohio, as all the other teams playing last night failed to move on to state championship games. In Division 6, Newark Catholic's run came to an end as they fell to Cuyahoga Heights last night, 30-14. But a great season for Coach Franks and the Green Wave as they wrap it up with a record of 9-4. In Division 1, Olentangy Liberty's undefeated season came to an end as they fall to Cleveland St. Ignatius, 24-14. And Pickerington Central battled back from a 20-7 deficit against Cincinnati St. X to take a lead but they fall on a field goal late, 29-27, so the Tigers' season comes to an end as well. Tonight, we've got Divisions 3, 5, and 7 going to the field. And, of course, our game of the week, a Division 3 state semifinal, as DeSales takes on Akron Hoban. The Stallions, like Hartley, look to punch their ticket to a state title game next week. The other team in the area playing tonight is in Division 7. That is where Harvest Prep is taking on JFK. The Warriors looking to move on to the Division 7 state championship game next Saturday as well. We'll keep you up to date on all the action around the state, especially that Harvest Prep game this evening. And, of course, it's the Stallions versus the Knights in our CCL football game of the week. Can DeSales punch their ticket to the Division 3 state championship? We'll find out next right here on AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O, online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick-cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
There are many ways to listen to AM 820 on the radio, online, and on smartphones. Listen live on your Android and iPhone using St. Gabriel Radio's very own app available from your app store. You can also get the Catholic perspective on your computer. Just go to stgabrielradio.com and use the listen button at the top of the homepage. Tune into the faith as you cruise across town and around the world.
This is listener-supported WVSG Columbus, Ohio, the home for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
For the second night in a row, we have got the Knights in our CCL football game of the week, as tonight the Stallions of DeSales take on the Knights of Akron Hoban in a Division III state semifinal matchup, with the right to move on to next Saturday afternoon to play in the Shoe for the Division III state championship. Let's find out who it will be. Let's head out to Mansfield's Arlen Stadium right now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for the call of this week's CCL football game of the week.
Ryan, thank you very much. As we start the contest tonight, 37 degrees, it feels like 35. Wind from the west at 5 miles an hour, so a little more, tropical than it was last night. At game time, it was about 27 degrees with the wind chill. DeSales won the toss and deferred. Hoban will receive going right to left on your radio dial or your smartphone or your computer screen. Larry, early on, the Stallions on defense. What are you going to watch for DeSales to see if they can contain the Knights' potent offense? That's a team that loves the big play.
Absolutely, and they've got big playmakers. And what DeSales is going to have to do is try to make them one-dimensional. They're going to have to rely on their front four to do what they've done all year, which is take care of the running game and then allow their athletes in space to cover these. I mean, because this Hoban team has some special dudes out there. I mean, they've got some people who can absolutely make plays.
Got a quarterback in Danny Clark, 6'4", 230, and a senior who passed for 2,235 yards and 16 touchdowns. He committed to Kentucky most recently, and their running back, Todd Sibley, some 1,969 yards on the season and 30 touchdowns, has committed to Pitt. Now, we should mention that initially, both of those guys committed to Ohio State, then both changed their commitments to Kentucky and Pitt, respectively. Another guy to watch for is William Collier in the backfield. They've got some good hands people, too. And wide receivers, Garrett Hauser, has got four catches in the playoffs and 143 yards. Hoban was very secretive with their statistical information, to say the least. Very pleasant interview with Tim Tyrrell, but again, they were kind of hush-hush about a lot of things. Fourth year for him as the head coach, 37-11 his mark, and they won the state championship, of course, in this division last year. He was on the Youngstown State rosters in the past, in the 90s, when, of course, Jim Tressel was there, and they were national champs. They play in the North Coast Blue, Benedictine and Walsh Jesuit and Cathedral Latin and the like. North Coast League, by the way, if you're wondering about their prowess when it comes to football, they have taken 16 state titles. On the other side for DeSales, what are you watching for them? Everybody talks about Alonzo Booth and the factor that he normally is for them. Can he still be a factor against a team like Hoban?
Well, Alonzo Booth is going to get his yards. I mean, he's going to get his 100 to whatever yards he gets. But DeSales is going to have to use athletes in space to make other plays. Cole Silvestri, their quarterback, is going to have to make plays with his feet and his arm. They cannot just rely on Alonzo Booth, because that's just not going to be there all night like it has been in the playoffs up to now.
And again, we told you DeSales won the toss and deferred to your officials for tonight. The referee is Kevin Selecki. The umpire is Ronald Bate. The linesman is Kevin Zink. The line judge is Daniel Nero. And the back judge is David Buchanan. Each team, by the way, has a tremendous kicker. We know about Dominic DeMaceo and the job that he's done all season for DeSales. 77 of 79 on extra points, 5 of 9 on field goals, including 2 of 50-plus yards. But Grant Kirsch does the number as well, too, for the Knights. He's 5'11", 180, and a senior. He's got a range up to about 45 yards. The one thing that you've noticed about Hoban, though, is when you look at the numbers, yes, they've been pounding people, but if they have to have a long Hartley-style drive, this is not a team that's done it in the past. They don't have the focus, if you will, when it comes to a long drive. So, you know, if the Sales can force them to march down the field, then I think they have a chance.
If the Sales can keep the football, force the punt to go deep into Hoban's territory and make Hoban play on a long field, the Sales can win this game.
Back deep for the Knights, Nate Bauer. He stands back inside the 5-yard line. Joining him is William Collier. Maceo's got it teed up at 40. The Stallions in the purple jerseys and the white pants. And for Hoban, they have the white jerseys, gray pants, and green numerals trimmed in gold as well, too. Glad to have you for our final game that Larry and I will work this season. We'll have the OHSA network for the state championships, at least for Hartley and maybe for DeSales, too. And the kick goes 8 yards deep in the end zone. And Bauer's not going to bring it out, so it'll be 1st and 10 for the 20-yard line now for the Knights.
There's a little wisp of a breeze out there. It's not really what you call wind. It might be a couple miles per hour, but it looks like it's going to favor DeSales here in the first quarter. So that kick with maybe a little bit of wind aid, but it was 6 yards deep easy.
Garrett Hauser, the wideout in the line. The interior five, Brandon Yankovich, along with Cade Thomas, R.J. Kelly, Matt Westover, and Nolan Rumler. He goes 6'4", 290, and a sophomore. And the tight end, Caden Clark, 6'4", 225, and a freshman. Danny Clark, the quarterback. The fullback is Joe Brode, who goes 5'10", 170, and a senior. And they have a guy that they call the athlete as well, too. He's a wideout. He's a running back. He's a flanker. He's everywhere. He's number 4. He's Blake Bishop. And on this first play, he's in the slot to the bottom. 2 wide to that side, 1 to the top. 2 backs in the backfield offset, and already they want to reset the play clock to 25, and they do that, according to our referee, Kevin Selecki, who I kind of think is related to Jerry Selecki, my former analyst a long time ago on state championships. Hand off the right side, up to the 23-yard line, so a good gain on that first down play as Todd Sibley is the ball carrier. Four to sales in that defense up front. It's Drew McLucky, Darius Mullins, Luke Barber, and Brandon Darrow. The linebackers, Ryan Corcoran, Ty Van Fossen, and Brian Asamoah. In the secondary, it's Joe Arnold and Chris McNally. At the corners, Jared Noble and Joey Velasquez, the safeties. Mark it out to the 24, they're going to say officially. So second down and 6 from there. Some 30 seconds into this contest. Same look now with 2 wide to the bottom, although Bishop in motion now to the top. From the gun, Clark bluffs and throws, and it's picked off by the play at the 43-yard line. Picked off by the Stallions by McNally. McNally inside the 40 to the 35 and all the way down to the 34 and maybe the 33. So Chris McNally anticipates the sideline route, and he picks it off, and McNally gets interception number two.
We've got a flag down, and we're going to get a sideline warning on DeSales. There's probably about, I'm going to guess, 15 feet from the sideline, maybe 15 feet to the bleachers or to the stadium here. There's not much room here, so you're going to see sideline. It's a tough sideline to try and get 70 players in, but they're going to get a sideline warning here. And that was a mistake by Danny Clark. He had two receivers out there. DeSales totally ignored the man in motion, and he was wide open in the flat, and he tried to hit the home run. And
if you look at his numbers, the one thing he occasionally tries to do is force the ball to make the big play, according to some of the information I've seen. So we saw it there in that second down play, and now the Stallions have the ball after pick number two on McNally on the campaign. And you talked about it. It's tied along the sidelines here at Arlen Field. It's like a vineyard down there. It's a sea of purple grapes just along the sidelines, trying to mesh in there and stay out of bounds. So first and 10 for DeSales. Mark the ball inside the 33 of the Knights. Backs offset. Booth is the up man. Osamoa is the second man. And Booth gets the handoff and goes nowhere. Got drilled at the 34-yard line and pushed back from there. For the Stallions, offensively, up front it goes like this. In the interior five, not much change. It's James Gilmore, Joe DeSantis, Daniel Walsh, Omar Vargas, and Drew McLucky. The tight end is Patrick Moriarty or Ryan Corcoran. Wide receivers are Chris McNally, Joe Arnold. They alternate out there. Quarterback is Cole Silvestri, 43 of 77 passing for 1,020 yards and 12 touchdowns. Alonzo Booth, a running back along with Brian Asamoah. And when they go to the slot, we'll see Mr. Van Fossen tie out there as well, too. This time, backs from an offset eye, wing to the top. That's Corcoran in motion to the bottom. One wide out to the bottom. And Velasquez, the handoff goes to Asamoah, and he is ripped down at the 35-yard line. Great penetration that time by William Collier, who came shooting from the top of the formation down across and just nailed him. It's Deshaun Martin up front along with John Bozzelli and Jabari Taylor, the big three up front. The linebackers, Harrison Sanders along with Nate Adolph in the middle and Reed Allen. In the secondary, it's Dawson Fitzpatrick, Kentrell Stovall, Matt Salopek, Will Collier, and Nate Bauer. So now DeSales going the wrong direction. Third down and 11 from the 34, 2 minutes into this contest. Silvestri, pressure on, dumps. Booth has got it, juggles it, makes the catch inside the 30, all the way down to the 22-yard line. We'll have enough for a Stallion first down. And that time, Silvestri got that ball off just in time because the pressure was there almost when he got the snap.
Well, DeSales, one of the things for DeSales' offensive line, and we talk about it as offensive line coaches, eye control. You have to see what you're supposed to see. And what happened on that one is two DeSales blockers blocked a nose tackle and let a linebacker run through, and they cannot do that. Cole Silvestri will get beaten up if that happens very often.
Gain of 12, but the other thing you'll notice about Hoban is the over-pursuit of the football. So misdirection or changes in looks are something that can confuse them. Look at this look now for the Stallions. Power to the top. Handoff goes to Booth off the right side, inside the 20, and gets down inside the 18 near the 17-yard line before he's brought down by Nate Bauer coming up for the secondary to make the hit.
And Nate Bauer wasn't happy about having to make that hit one-on-one in the open field. I mean, that's 240 pounds coming downhill at you, and that's not a pretty sight.
But again, they stack the strong side to the left, and Larry, they go against the grain, go to the right side. And that's the thing you can watch for with the Knights.
Well, early on, the Knights have been slanting to the wide side of the field. And that time they did not. That's the first time they did not.
Again, the power set to the top. Booth gets the handoff and puts his head down and just burrows through the body of number 21, William Collier. Takes the ball to just inside the 15-yard line. DeSales going left to right. They're at the near hash right now with the ball resting at the 15-yard line. And they're going to mark it back closer now to the 16. So it'll be third down and three. But already you've got to think in the field goal range of Dominic Damasio.
Oh, they're absolutely in field goal range. They don't want a field goal here. They need points. They're going to have to score points tonight. So they're thinking seven here. Well, they're thinking first down first.
Living off the euphoria of the Buckeyes from earlier today.
One can only hope.
Corcoran on the wing to the bottom.
If he quarterback sneaks this, he'll get the first down.
Silvestri does keep it inside the 13 to the 12-yard line. Good call by Larry Wolf. He took it off the right side, found the gap. And it'll be first down and 10 for the Stallions just across the 11 near the 12-yard line with 8:15 left to go first quarter.
And right now, John Bozzelli is limping. He's getting beat up in the trenches there a little bit, and he's not a happy camper. So he had to come out.
The nose guard is 6'1", 210, and a senior. Stallions just get the play now. They head back to the line of scrimmage. Silvestri barks to the left side, now to the right. Again, look at the split on the left side of the offensive line. Yep. It's huge. Power to that side, too. Booth runs the other way. Inside the 10, inside the 5. Alonzo Booth in for the score. 7:50 left to go in the first quarter. Alonzo Booth takes it in. Some 11 yards for the touchdown. And the Stallions are up early in this one. 6-0 thanks to the interception by Chris McNally and strong running by Alonzo Booth.
What DeSales did was put four linemen to the left. And so what Hoban did was they all set their nose tackle all the way over to the guard. So they had both guards covered. And what DeSales did was just counter back to the weak side. There was one less man over there. Touchdown was easy. That was easy.
80th extra point attempt on the season for Dominic DiMaceo. And the man who made the pick, Chris McNally, is the holder. Snap bobbled just a little bit by McNally, but he puts it down and the kick is up and good. Timeout on the field. 7:50 left to go. Division 3 state semifinal. DeSales leads Hoban 7-0 on the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at miraclemotormart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles, which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
JFK gets a 72-yard quarterback sneak on the first drive from scrimmage. Takes an early 7-0 lead over Harvest Prep. Then they onside kick it, recover that, and score on the next play. So they lead 13-0 now. Not looking good for the Warriors.
Not the start they wanted, but the Stallions are getting the start they wanted after the pick. Booth, an 11-yard run, 7 plays, 33 yards, 3:25 off the clock. The icing from DeMaceo to make it 7-0 early in this contest. Is that the picture-perfect start, Larry?
It's about as good as it gets if you're DeSales. Now, if they can get a three-and-out here and get the ball back, this could be huge.
DeMaceo, can he drill it again?
Absolutely.
It is high. It is deep. Say bye-bye. 8 yards deep in the end zone. Hits the Y in Tigers. T-Y-G-E-R-S.
Yeah, go figure that one out. I don't think Sister Laboria would have allowed me to spell Tigers that way. I'd have gotten a point off on my spelling test, I'm sure.
You could have done it, but only once. Did you ever get hit on the knuckles if you made a mistake?
Not more than 100 times. I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't color between the lines.
I think that's why I broke my knuckles the first time.
That's why I quit playing the piano.
There you go.
I kept whacking my knuckles.
We heard you play, too, so.
It's probably good for everybody.
Two wide to the bottom again. This time, widest to the bottom is Hauser. That's Bishop in the slot. One wide to the top. Bishop now in motion to the top of the formation. They're going to hand it off the right side. And Sibley fights up to the 22-yard line, and that's about it. I mean, he kept fighting and fighting and fighting. He gets knocked back. Good pursuit by the Stallions. No less than four guys there, Larry, at that hole on the right side to just close that up after the short game.
Now, again, they ran motion. Hoban ran motion across the formation. Blake Bishop and DeSales totally ignored him. I mean, there was no adjustment at all to the motion. And that's how they threw the interception the last time. But he was open. If they wanted to throw the football, he was open.
Well, Clark likes to punt fake, too. That's the other thing he likes to do, to try to draw the defenders up. They're going to hand it off again right up the middle, and Sibley gets it up to the 27-yard line. So it'll be third down and three from there with 7:09 left to go and ticking here in the first quarter as the Stallions unsort the pile. And the last man to get up is Luke Barber. Barber, not probably 100% right now. Looks like he's a little sore on his leg, but...
And Jabari Taylor came up limping that time for Akron Hoban. He plays the slot receiver, tight end, hybrid, call him whatever you want over there.
Hauser to the top wing to that side. Backs from an eye now. Clark's going to hand it off, and Sibley's got the first down and more. Out of bounds, he goes at around the 42-yard line. Didn't have the angle, but still had a nice gain across the 40.
Sorry, Randy. That time, Hoban came out with an end-over formation. They had three down linemen, an end on the line, and then a slot man. So it gave them a four side, and they just had too many bodies there for DeSales to handle.
Sibley picks up 16. They're going to mark him out at the 44-yard line in ninth territory. So it'll be first down from there with 6:37 left to go.
Same formation.
Same play?
Yep.
Yep, same thing off the right side. He fights up to around the 48 and drags Corcoran to the 49-yard line.
Right now, one of the things I'm seeing is the big offensive linemen for Hoban are getting up on the second level. They're getting into the linebackers. That's not a good thing for DeSales. Normally, the defensive line picks those guys off, but right now, because of the unbalanced line or the end over, if you will, it's a little bit more difficult because there's an extra gap over there.
It's one of the strengths, too, of their offensive line, Larry, when you look at it. Those guys are good on the second level.
Yep.
And they move very well, even Rumler, who goes 6'4 and 290 as a sophomore.
He's a big dude. He can really play.
Second and five from the 49. Just under six left to go in the quarter. Clark wants to throw. Guns it on the out pattern. Oh, what a one-handed catch made on the play. Corralled by one hand and pulled in the other by Bauer, who makes the catch along the far side of the field.
It wasn't even just a one-handed catch. It was the wrong hand. It was the backhand. The ball was thrown behind his head. He reached back with one hand and caught it. Still got his feet down and got extra yards for the first down.
This guy's got two catches in the playoffs, good for 12 yards.
They should throw it to him more often.
Picked up 11 on that play. First and 10 from the Stallion, 41-yard line. 5:52 left to go. DeSales leading. Hoban 7-0 early in this one. Battle the sixes to the top now as Hauser goes that side, as does Asamoah. Handoff goes to Sibley, trying to bounce it outside, and it'll be brought down, and they fight the pile and the scrum to around the 38-yard line, maybe the 37. I think last night was the most dramatic presentation of scrums in high school football than we've ever seen, that Hartley won almost every single one with Alter.
I think OHSAA may need to visit that rule, because when you get 10 or 12 guys pushing the pile, the only way to stop it is to throw your body in there and cut legs. And when you do that, yep, you stand a real good chance of hurting somebody. And that's just not the way we want to have our kids play football.
It's not football, it's rugby.
It is. But, I mean, to Hartley's advantage, I mean, it's a legal play,
sure,
so that's not a bad play. It's just something they need to visit.
Second and seven from the 38, Sibley right up the gut inside the 35 to the 33, maybe the 32-yard line before he's pushed back. He was dragging a Stallion along the way. That was big number 97, Brandon Darrow, the defensive end, who never gave up. But he still took him all the way down inside the 33-yard line.
So far, every running play has been to the strength. They have not run to the weak side yet. So whenever they get a three-down lineman or four-down lineman or a three-down lineman with a wing, they seem to always go to that side. So this time they should be going left, if my theory holds.
Wing to the bottom. Third and two from inside the 33. Stallions showing blitz. They're coming. Sibley bounces off of it and gets inside the 30 and gets the first down to the 29, maybe the 28-yard line, before Van Foss and knocks him down. But that's enough for another night first down.
And they indeed did come to the left. I mean, they just overpowered him. This is the first time we've seen anybody just run the ball right at the sails. Just, you know what I mean, just defy them and just go right strength on strength.
An official's timeout for a little equipment repair for the Stallions. Jared Noble having a little issue. And he's going to...
Shoulder pad.
Yeah. The back pad has come down, and we're going to go ahead and reattach him for a second. He'll check out on the play, and as he does so, Colton Hillary will come in. Sibley now 8 carries for 46 yards in this first quarter. First and 10 from the 24 of the Stallions with 4:28 left to go. Make that the 28 of the Stallions. Trying to get the handoff, and Clark's going to pick it up on the bounce and be brought down back at the 31-yard line. Joe Arnold on the play made the hit, tried to get the handoff to number 23, and that is Mr. Sibley. And Sibley said, "I didn't know I was getting the ball." Goes palms up on the play, and the bounce was fortuitous for Clark as he scooped it up, but waiting for him was Arnold to make the hit at the 31-yard line.
Fortuitous. Does that mean it was good?
I'm done for the night.
Okay.
So a loss of a couple on the play. Mark it back to the 31. It'll be second down and just about 13 from there with 3:50 left to go. To the top goes Bishop along with Jackson. Two wide to the bottom. From the gun, Clark looking to his left. Throws, passes long. Quarterback got drilled at the end of the play as Corcoran just nailed him back at the 37-yard line. I was looking to see, and they say it was legal, so no flag on the play.
I'm going to tell you what, Danny Clark has a rocket for an arm. I mean, he just, if somebody would have caught that ball and probably split their gloves, I mean, he threw a fastball there. And he really didn't need to. He needed a little more touch and just lay it out there. His man was deep, and he had an opening.
Going to Kentucky, and they had a good day today, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Beat Louisville.
I taught you how to say that, right?
I have family from Louisville.
Third and 13 from the 31. Sibley the back. Clark from the gun. Time. Sidearms it. Pass incomplete. A weird arm angle. That pass downfield by Clark as He looked like a reliever coming out of the bullpen. Looked like Joe Smith trying to throw something sidearm or submarine. The pass intended on the play for Daniel Jackson falls incomplete.
Well, the problem there wasn't his arm. The problem was his feet. He didn't get his feet turned. His shoulders weren't square, and so now he had to throw off his back foot, and he had to drop down to get the ball in there. It's kind of like a shortstop making the double play toss to the second baseman.
Kirsch to attempt a 48-yard field goal. Again, we talked about his range.
Not much wind.
Pretty good from 45. This one a little longer, but he's got the leg with 3:34 left to go. A chance for the Knights, if they kick it, to get on the scoreboard. Low snap. There's the kick, and it is up, and plenty of leg, and it is easily good.
Holy
3:28 left to go. That was good from about 60.
I'm going to tell you what.
7-3 is the score.
That was halfway up the hill.
We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
JFK gets another quarterback keeper for a score, this one from 5 yards out, and Harvest Prep trails the Eagles 20-0.
Better start here for the Sails, although Hoban just got on the board as Kirsch nails one from 48 yards. 12-play, 50-yard drive, 4:23 off the clock, and we stand at 7-3, the Sails leading. As Kirsch,
I'm guessing there's not going to be a return on this. No.
And that will go about 4 yards deep in the end zone, and Velasquez says we'll bring it out to the 20-yard line.
Well, now DeSales is going to have to keep the football to change field position. They've got it at the 20. The last thing they can do is go 3-and-out and give them the ball back with decent field position.
We'll have to see how fired up that Knight defense is now after their 3 points on the board. Their defensive coordinator for Hoban is Renzi Parnell. They called their base a 4-2-5, but that's kind of a misnomer because they're in all sorts of different looks. Yeah. A lot of times a three down linemen, and they just change it almost from play to play.
Well, they're running the old 52 defense here, or 3-4. They've got a nose, 2-5 techniques, and 2 stand-up outside backers. So it's
Moriarty and Corcoran, the tight ends. Toss goes to Booth. Right up the gut he goes. So Alonso gets up to around the 22-yard line. Short gain on the play as we approach 3:15 left to go in the first quarter.
The problem DeSales is going to have is not only are they in a 5-2, which is a 7-man front, but they're rolling one safety down and they're in a corner in, so it's basically a 9-man front, and they're forcing DeSales to have to make a decision to throw the football here.
And their key is, when you look at their numbers all season, they force teams to go into third and long.
That's right.
It's easy to say, it's harder to do, but that's something that Hoban's done all season, except for one game. That was the game they lost, and that was against St. Edward. St. Ed's beat him 10-7.
Well, if you look, all 11 men are within 5 yards of the ball, except the cornerback who's...
Booth has got it and churns up to the 25, maybe the 26-yard line. Of course, you look at that schedule, and Coach Tyrrell mentioned it too. Kent McKinley in week one. And again, let's remember Hoban is D3. Then St. Ed's, the Division I state champ last year, right? Then Ursuline. Then they play a Canadian team, so that doesn't really count. Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary Lake Catholic, Padua Franciscan, Welsh Jesuit, Cathedral Latin, Benedictine, then in the playoffs, Howland, again St. V, St. M, and New Philly last week, who they tuned up 34-3.
Well, they're certainly used to playing this style of football. I mean, this is not going to scare them a bit.
Third and four, backs offset. Silvestri under center. Hands it off to Booth. Booth has got a gap up across the 30 and fights his way up to the 32, maybe the 33-yard line before he's knocked down on the play by William Collier, but that's enough for a Stallion first down.
It's maybe a good time for a play-action pass because there is a 9-man front minimum, maybe 10-man front, and they might be able to sneak somebody up.
Wilmanick checks in as a tight end now. Moriarty, the tight end at the top. Manick to the bottom. Silvestri still peering the sidelines to get the signals. It's taking a long time. There's about 14 on the play clock now. Van Foss on the up back. Booth the deep man. One wide out to the top. 8 on the play clock. Gonna snap it with 4. Toss it to Booth off the right side. And he got drilled right at 38, maybe the 39-yard line. Just going with the helmet right in the midsection was big number 54. And that is Jacob Pettis. Pettico's 6'1 and 240. And oh, by the way, he's a sophomore. These guys out there, some of these guys for Hoban look like men, and they're like sophomores or juniors.
Well, I mean, Jabari Taylor wears number 9. He's 6'2, 250, and he's a nose tackle.
And he's a junior.
Excuse
me, Taylor's a senior. The other guy, Deshaun Martin, is 6'3, 240, and he's a junior.
They've got some big, thick dudes.
And again,
and they run.
Play clock's down to 5. They just got the play down. They may have to burn a timeout with 4, with 3, with 2. They're going to take a timeout with 1 on the play clock. They get it with 58 seconds left. Stallions burn a timeout. 7-3, they lead. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Guys, in the other Division III state semifinal tonight, Trotwood Madison just took a pick six and got the two-point conversion, so they have an early 8-0 lead over Toledo Central Catholic.
Well, hello, that's a bit of a surprise to me. How about you?
That would be a little bit of an upset, but listen, Trotwood Madison has won several state titles.
Yep.
They're not an easy out, let's just put it that way.
Second down. And 8 from the 35-yard line after the Stallion timeout. 58 ticks left to go in the quarter. Toss sweep, far side. Asamoah trying to get to the corner, and he's not going to do it. Brought down back at the 32-yard line. They did a great job of stringing that out, including Reed Allen, the linebacker, one of the first to get there.
Well, the defensive linemen do a great job of getting down the line. And if you just play down the line and don't try to make a play and just go down the line, what it does is it boogers up all the blocking, and he can't go anywhere.
Now, that's a technical term, right?
Boogers up. Boogers up's a big term, especially if it's NASCAR.
Is there a symbol for that, perhaps?
Yeah, but you don't know.
Okay.
It's radio, so I'm giving a
green
signal right now. No.
Okay. Third down and 10 from back of the 33. 20 ticks left to go in the quarter. DeSales 3-for-3 on third downs. They hand it off to Booth, and he's going nowhere. Knocked down back at the 30-yard line. They had that one smelled from the get-go, and there to nail him was
Deshaun Martin,
the big defensive end. Giving forward progress to the 31, but that's the end of the first quarter. DeSales on top, though, 7-3 after one. D3 state semifinal right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
College scholarships are available from Education First Credit Union. With the fast rising cost of college tuition, free money is as important as ever. Education First has awarded over $140,000 in scholarships to deserving students. To learn more about Education First Credit Union or to request a scholarship application, contact us today. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Another pick six to tell you guys about. Minster takes one to the house. They now have a 14-0 lead after one quarter over Macomb.
The Minster of defense, right?
Absolutely. That's that old MAC conference. Oh,
they are so tough. Not only in football, but in basketball.
If you could just survive.
Baseball, too.
Absolutely. If you can just survive that conference.
Now, you take a look at the first quarter numbers. Total offense for Hoban, 55 yards. DeSales, 42. For Hoban, it's 44 running, 11 passing. For the Stallions, 30 on the ground, 12 in the air. 4 first downs to 3. DeSales wins that category. No penalties in the first quarter. And one turnover. That was the pick by Chris McNally that yielded the only touchdown for DeSales, which came by a Booth 11-yard run. Team's back out on the field now as they were initially ready to go, but there's a timeout coordinator here, and he stopped them for another 45 seconds.
Where would we be without television?
Well, we've got stats from the first quarter.
As soon as we can read.
Great stats, but there's no lights on. Nobody's at home. Damasio standing back at his own 17-yard line. Twin safeties back for the Knights, standing at the 25 and 20 respectively. Normally they have Nate Bauer and Matt Salopek back there.
Ooh, he shanked it.
He did. Not his best effort, and let's see where they mark it out of bounds. Everybody overran the football. The officials were running down at the 40 of the Stallions, and the ball went out of bounds on the other side of the 50-yard line. They're going to mark it where, around the 45?
45.
That's a rarity for Dominic Damasio when it comes to punting the football, because on the campaign, he was averaging 41.9 yards a kick, but now it's a short field as they tilt the table for the Knights. Down 7-3, they have it first and 10 from the DeSales 45.
Well, DeSales need to get a stop here because they're on the short side of the 50, and they've got a great field goal kicker. So
three wide to the bottom. The guy closest to the interior five is Jake Sasson there now. One wide to the top, one back in the backfield. Spread out the defense and hand it off to Sibley, who gets it right up the middle inside the 40, down to around the 39-yard line before he's tripped up on the play.
Well, Sibley is he's a big, strong runner. He's 5'10", he's 205 pounds. He's packed in there. He's a real thick-legged kid. I mean, he's going to be tough to knock off his pegs. And he's heading where?
He is going to Pitt. Against Howland in the regional quarters, 11 carries, 181 yards, and three touchdowns in that game. Second down, and we'll call it four from the 39-yard line of the Stallions. From the pistol, Clark wants to throw to his left. Quick pop, pass is complete inside the 35-yard line. Receiver doesn't go down right away. Got to the 34, then gave ground to the 36, and then pushed back from there. But the catch is made on the play by Garrett Hauser, and Hauser has a nice gain on the play and enough for a Knight first down. So first down at the 35-yard line of the Sales, 11:06.
That wasn't a very good spot. They actually had him spotted beyond the 35-yard line. About
well, down to the 34, yeah.
And now they've marked it back to 35. I mean, it's just...
I wonder if it was because of the second attempt that he made with the football.
No, because the guy who spotted it had it clearly at the 34 down here.
I'm not going to tell him. Jackson to the bottom. Bishop realigns to the top two to that side of the field. Low snap, but Sibley gets the handoff and maneuvers down to the near hash, or far hash, excuse me, to around the 30-yard line. So he's going to pick up almost five on the play. It'll be second down from there, ticking down to 10:34 left to go here in the first half.
This Hoban team is starting to get their sea legs under them. I mean, they're pushing hard on this pile, and they're doing a good job interiorly. This is the first time we've seen the DeSales Stallions not get knocked off the ball, but have trouble with a running attack interior.
And the Stallions have good size. Remember, with McLucky at 210 and Mullins at 320 and Barber at 225 and Darrow at 230 pounds. Second and five from the Stallion 30. Going left to right in this second quarter are the Knights. It's a motion up front. Sibley fights and churns and gets down to around the 25-yard line. I thought somebody left a little early.
Left tackle looked like he moved early.
I thought there was a flag tossed in there, but maybe I was wrong.
It's going to be short here.
It's going to be third down and one. Interesting, because we saw motion up front early that preceded the snap, but no flag, and so it'll be third down and less than one inside the Stallion 26-yard line. Going to the sidelines is Danny Clark getting some play information and heading back now.
One of the things DeSales may have to do is they may have to actually move some people here.
This time they go with an eye look, and Clark will just maneuver forward on the sneak and try to get it inside the 25-yard line. With a frame that goes about 6'4 and 230 pounds, I'm going to say from this vantage point, he's got enough for the first down and they can move the sticks. And they do. And he does. And there's 9:19 left in the first half. So first and 10 right inside the 25 of the Stallions. What do you change here?
Well, you may have to flip Luke Barber and Darius Mullins, just put more size on the strong side. They're flopping their defense strong and weak, and they're putting Darius Mullins to the weak side. So, and they're running to the strong side almost exclusively. So you may have to, I mean, if it holds true, they should come to their right, the offensive right.
Wing, one back in the backfield, and Clark wants to throw, looks to his left across the middle, pass incomplete inside the 5-yard line. McNally on coverage, the pass a little high, and the wide receiver begging for a flag on the play, but he's not going to get it.
I'll tell you what, Danny Clark throws nothing but fastballs. Now, there was no free safety in the middle of the field that time, so if he just leads the receiver and lets him run to it, he could have taken something off of it and just let him right into the end zone. It would have been an easy 6 points.
Hauser, the intended receiver, can't come up with the football. Second down and 10. You're right. He can throw the ball 100 miles an hour, but can he throw the change up with a curve?
I don't know. He looks like a good left-handed pitcher to me.
Two to the bottom, one to the top, a wing to the bottom. The handoff goes to Sibley to that bottom and brought down by the Stallions. Great pursuit.
Big play.
Right at the 25-yard line. Double team tackle that time for the Stallions by Drew McLucky and also Brandon Darrow.
This is a big play. It's third down and 10. The Sales needs to get off the field here.
We talked about the fact that the Knights quite often have a hard time finishing long drives, and they're trying to maneuver one down the field here, down by 4 points, now facing a third and just about 11 from the 25-yard line. Going to go with trips to the top. One man on an island to the bottom, one back in the backfield with Sibley. Clark on the slant, downfield, looks and overthrows the man again. And pressure on the quarterback, Clark, by McLucky, but again, he sails high with the pass.
He kind of dropped down. His elbow got real low with that delivery there. It was not very good technique there.
I was talking about down on the other end, too. It's not just his feet sometimes, Larry. Yeah. Sometimes he just brings it down to the side for some reason, and still the pass kind of rose on him a little bit. It sailed a little high.
He's probably one of those left-handed pitchers in baseball. You know, a little goofy. They come out of the bullpen. You're not sure exactly what you're going to get. I mean, seriously, most of us left-handers are a little bit goofy. I am left-handed.
43-yard field goal attempt, or maybe 42. Let's see where they spot the ball down. Wait to see, because it's between the 32 and the 33. There's a snap, there's a kick, plenty of leg. It is up, and it is no good. Missed it, wide left. The Sales dodges a bullet with 8:03 left to go, and they'll get the football back. We'll call it officially a 43-yarder since he missed it.
Well, again, he had plenty of leg on that baby. I mean, that hit the back fence. It's a good 15 yards behind the goalpost.
See if the Stallions now can get some motivation as the Sales lead 7-3, and they'll get the football back with 8:03 left to go here in the first half. Ryan Wiggins getting some instructions from the officials, so they come over to talk to him for a second. Now Brian Asamoah is talking to the head coach of the Stallions. They meet in a huddle and come out to the field, and they'll take over the football at the 20-yard line with 8:03 left to go in the first half.
As much as we want to see Booth run the football and all, and be the hammer and all that good stuff, it's going to be tough sledding against this Hoban defense.
And Fossen and Booth lined up behind Silvestri, under center on the first down play. And it's Booth, and there's nothing there. Maybe out to the 21-yard line, and that's about it. Got maybe back to the line of scrimmage and fell forward from there, but the pursuit was there as he tried to slant it off the right side.
Their corners are matched up man-to-man out here, so it's a one-man, man-on-man situation. So you got a one-man route, just play fake it, boot a couple steps, hit a quick 5 or 7 yard out. It's easy picking.
Joe Arnold being picked up right now by Donnie Swain at the bottom of the set. Also going wide now to the bottom of the formation. This is Chris McNally. The other nine in a box, basically, from the eye look. Silvestri rolling to his left, pressure's on, tries to roll away from it, and he does, and he runs, and he's got room, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, cuts it back midfield, 45-yard line, and all the way down to a 44-yard line. That's it looked like they grabbed the handlebar, but Larry, I don't see a flag.
Nope, no flag, but that's because he outran the officials. The officials weren't up with the play. They couldn't stay up with the play, but it was clearly a face mask.
There you see the X factor of Cole Silvestri with his speed to the corner. They were ready for him, and he outran everybody to the tune of 35 yards.
Well, they brought a wide side blitz that time with two guys off the edge, and he was literally out there by himself, and he beat both of them. Great play by Cole Silvestri.
McNally top, Arnold bottom, whistle, and a timeout's going to be taken. 6:57 left to go in the first half. Timeout on the field taken by the squad from Hoban. So they've burned a timeout. And that means each team now has two timeouts remaining here in this first half. I want to remind everybody as well, too, that we always are happy that you're listening to us. And there are so many ways to listen to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on your dial at AM 820, streaming live at stgabrielradio.com, with the TuneIn Radio app, and with the St. Gabriel phone app. Please check us out in a multitude of ways. Love to have you aboard for our games. And don't forget, if the Stallions make it to the state championship game, AM 820 will pick up the feed from the OHSAA radio network. In fact, we know that they'll pick up the OHSAA feed of the contest when Hartley takes on Steubenville in the rematch of last year's state championship tilt. So the timeout taken by Hoban, and what do you think? Larry?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure why they took it.
First and 10 from the 44 of the Knights. Toss sweep to the wide side of the field. That's Booth trying to turn the corner. And Fossen out front to block. Flag down on the play. And Booth almost to around the 36-yard line. But there's a flag tossed back upfield. And we'll see what this is about from Mr. Selecki and company with 6:47 left.
We've got a hold
against the Stallions. And that would be what? Our first penalty of the contest? Played a quarter and a half. Larry, you have experience coaching in the playoffs. Are officials more hesitant to toss flags in playoff games?
Yeah, normally in the playoffs, I don't say they put them in their pockets, but they do not want to determine the outcome. They want to let the kids play, and they'll only call it if it's obvious. And that's okay. I mean, as a coach, I'd rather it be decided on the field anyhow. Let's block and tackle and run and catch and do all that stuff. And keep the stripes out of it.
The ball back of the DeSales 47-yard line. So they need 19 yards. It'll be first and 19 with 6:43 left to go and ticking here in the first half. The Sales leads Hoban 7-3. Backs from an eye. Booth, the up man, has the ball and has room inside the 45, down to the 40-yard line, the far hash mark. He's brought down there with a nice gain on the play. Set up a second down and short. Picks up 13 of the 19 that they needed before he's knocked down on the play by Matt Salopek, who comes up for the secondary. And quickly, the Stallions up to the line on a second down and six. Booth gets it again. Rumbles inside the 35, the 30, and down to the 27-yard line. And all of a sudden, it's like a rocket in the backfield.
Well, they're catching Hoban in their slant game. And all they're doing is running off the weak side. And the nose tackle's going to the strong side. And they're hitting it quick.
Picks up 13 on the play, first and 10. And it goes to Booth again, but we have a whistle and flags on the play. A false start can be called on the offense?
Yeah, it is. But that was really, that was bad officiating in that case, because what they did was they blew the whistle right before the snap. And as soon as the whistle blew, one of the Stallion kids flinched. In other words, it should have been spotted, chop the clock,
right,
blow the whistle, and then get out of the way here. And
now our referee, Kevin Selecki, is going to the far side of the field to explain what's going on to Tim Tyrrell, the head coach for Hoban. Appearances in the tournament in 98, 99, 2000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 15, and of course 60. Fourth time as a state semifinalist in the state championship, the first time last year. First and 15 after the penalty. Toss sweep. Here comes Asamoah. Looks for a gap inside the 30. Fights and churns down to the 29-yard line before he's brought down on the play. Thought he was going to get away from the pursuit, but grabbing for dear life was Harrison Sanders, who makes the hit, the outside linebacker.
With the Sales offensive lineman, James Gilmore, got turned around backwards and actually ran into Asamoah when he made the cut, and he didn't make the tackle, but he slowed him up a little bit there.
Peaks and Van Fossen check in. Peaks is going to go wide to the bottom. Corcoran, Silvestri, Van Fossen, Moriarty, and Booth, the hands people, all looking to sidelines. The linemen are all in place right now. 14 on the play clock, 5:17 left in the half. Second down and a dozen. Toss goes to Booth off left side to the 30, to the 25, and fights down to the 22-yard line. I know I say rumble a few times with him, but that's the way he runs sometimes. It's like boom, 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 kind of like George of the Jungle. You know, he can go down there left, right, and then he finds that extra gear, and he can shoot through a gap if he finds
it. I'll tell you what, when he turns it north and south, he really has some giddy up. I mean, he can go. He ran that 98-yarder last week. And
that was a classic.
And he gained yardage on the defender. They couldn't run him down.
Third down, the ball resting inside the 23. It'll be third down and four for DeSales. They'd love to milk this clock. Remember, they will get the ball to start the second half.
Oh, yeah, they'd love to get a first down here and take another 2 minutes off this clock.
Backs offset. Asamoah in motion, handoff. Booth puts his head down and punished the guy that hit him at the 20-yard line. Falls forward.
He's real
to the 19.
Close. He's real close. He's about a half a foot short. I think they may go for this. I know you got a great field goal kicker, but
Reed Allen, the linebacker, with the termination on the play, but it's going to be fourth down.
Booth came up limping.
Yeah, and just more than one.
He's going to stay in there. This is no time to be injured.
McLucky readjusts to the bottom. Corcoran there on a wing, backs offset. Booth is going to readjust, and the Stallions are going to take a timeout. 13 on the play clock, 4:01 left to go in the first half. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Instead of trading in your old car, truck, or van, think about donating it to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
In fact, St. Gabriel Radio is a nonprofit that accepts all vehicle donations. Your gift helps to spread the word of God to a multitude of listeners all over Ohio and may qualify you for a tax break. It's easy and hassle-free. Call 614-459-4820 or visit us online at stgabrielradio.com.
Well, guys, it just keeps getting worse for Harvest Prep. This time, JFK with a 10-yard touchdown pass, and it is now 27-0 Eagles.
Wow. Didn't see that one coming.
Well, it happens quick in the playoffs. When you don't get off the bus right away and the other team goes 90 yards or whatever it was on a quarterback sneak or 75 yards on a quarterback sneak in the first play, it's...
Fourth and a little more than one. This is a team that flinches a lot. I wonder if the Stallions will try to draw them off first. Right now they start from the eye with Asamoah, the deep man. Handed off. Booth off the right side. Has the first down inside the 15 to the 14. And moves the sticks with a gain of almost six on the play. It'll be first and 10 Stallions with 3:57 left to go. Now, you're not in a hurry to score right now, are you?
No. You want to take as much time as possible. That was an old outside veer play where they just hit that right off the tackle's backside. And it was just a hard slant by a 240-pound man. And it was a good play. They just walled everybody down and left the end out there by himself.
You see his knee touched the 15, so it'll be first and 10 from there. Vasquez is way wide at the top. Handoff Booth off the left side. Bounces off the first wave. Tries to go to the outside. Gets inside the 15-yard line. They grab onto his jersey, but still, he could have lost two. And, Larry, he got positive yardage on the play.
You know, a lot of people will just measure running backs by what they gain, and sometimes it's what they don't lose. Maurice Clarett was a great one at that. He'd get hit for a 2 or 3 yard loss and gain two. Well, that's a 5 yard gain. You know, instead of a minus three, it's a plus two, and that's exactly what Booth did on that play.
Van Fossen and Moriarty check in. And now that's Manick in there at a tight end as they again peer to the sidelines with 15 on the play clock. 3:34 left to go in the first half, 7-3.
Four men on the right.
Second and seven from the 12. And a whistle before we start to play. Timeout, Holman. Well, that's the second time they've taken one of those timeouts extremely late near the snap of the football.
Well, I think they realized from up top they were not aligned to that four-man side. The Sales had four to the right, and they were not properly aligned for Holman.
So two timeouts burned by each team. Each team has one left. Well, we know what happened last night. We heard it. We lived it. We painted the pictures on AMA 20. I want to get your take on what happened for the Buckeyes this afternoon. You were at the game. You had a chance to taste it and smell it. The Buckeyes win in double overtime, 30-27. Your thoughts?
Well, it goes to show you that every now and then you have to win ugly. Ohio State played very poorly in the first half. They just didn't seem like they were in the right place at the right time. But in the third and fourth quarter, they racked up more than 220 yards of offense against the number one ranked defense in the country. So you have to give Ohio State a little bit of credit for making the adjustments they need to make. And by the way, they held Michigan to about 105 yards in the second half. It was so electrifying to be in that stadium. You couldn't hear yourself. There was so much noise, and my chest was just thumping. I mean, my heart was just thumping in my chest, and it was electrifying to be there.
And for all the talk of the Michigan defense, how about the play by the Ohio State defense with a couple picks?
A couple picks and a fumble recovery at the 1-inch line.
Second and seven from the 12. Corcoran in motion, bottom to top, backs offset. And did we have an encroachment by the defense?
Did.
And again, this is what I talked about. This is a flinchy team. If you change your cadence, you can get these guys to jump, especially what I call in the tight situations. And they'll get 5 yards there, make it second down and two.
This is a huge drive for the Sales because now they've got the ball second and two at about the 8 yard line. And if they get a first down here, they can run another couple minutes off this clock, punch it in on third down, and leave Hoban very little time to come back, and it would be a 14-3 lead if they punch it in here.
3:35 left to go. Second down and two with the ball resting at the 8 yard line.
Quarterback sneak is wide open.
Backs from an eye. It's Booth. They hammer on him, and boy, they just tried to bend him in half. I looked at number nine, and he did everything he could in Taylor to bend the top half of the body of Alonzo Booth back to the 10-yard line as he approached the six. And mark the ball just past the 6 yard line, so it's going to be third down and just about one from there with 3:14 left to go. Play clock at 20, so you can milk this down under the 3 minute mark.
Absolutely. You want to take as much time as you can take.
Backs from an eye again.
Quarterback sneaks open again.
Peek is wide to the bottom. Hand off Booth right up the gut and brought down at the 6, maybe falls forward to the 5. And again, it's Taylor on the hit. The question is, did he get enough for the first down? The answer is no. Doesn't look like it. We'll see.
They're spotting him short of the 5, so now it's 4th and a foot.
Well, we've seen this before in the last 24 hours. The Stallions need a little yardage.
I think they'll let the clock run all the way down and call timeout.
They can run it down to about 2:15.
Yep, they're going to run it all the way down because regardless, this will be their last play. And if they,
not necessarily.
Right, but I mean, this will be the last play. If they don't make it, it's a 95-yard drive with about 2 minutes to go. And if they do make it, they've got 2 minutes to go and 3 plays.
Play clock down to 1. The Stallions burn the timeout with 2:15 left to go in the first half. So DeSales burns the timeout, and they've exhausted their supply of 3. Hoban still has 1 left. All right, what are some of the options here? Larry, I mean, you can go right up the middle with Booth. They've been doing that a lot. We talk about going up the middle with Booth over and over again. Think about Hartley last night, what Brad Birchfield said. He overrode everybody. He said, give it to Dixon until they stop him. Can they do that with Booth, or do they need to look for something else here in a 4th and less than 1?
I think the quarterback needs to keep this. And the reason I say that is because they are pinching so hard from the outside that they're catching Booth before he can get started. They're coming around the outside edges. They're pinching their tackles down inside. But if you quarterback sneak on the goose, you just walk up and snap it quick, you'll get them flat-footed because they're so used to your cadence. It's the old goose and go. You just give the center a little tap on the backside, and he snaps the ball, and you follow him, and you got to be able to get a foot. I mean, it's only a foot. You've got to be able to get a foot.
We're at Arlen Field in Mansfield. Randy Reinhart alongside Larry Wolf and Greg Savoldi and Scott Rex. Ryan Baker back in the studios of AMA 20. What a season it has been as we have 2 teams that made it to the state semis. In fact, Hartley now with a chance to win the ultimate prize in back-to-back seasons. Can DeSales grab for the brass ring? We'll find out as well, too. 4th down and less than 1 from inside the 6-yard line with Booth and Asamoah offset in the backfield.
They're going to give it to Booth straight ahead.
He's got it. He has to get inside the 5, and he did that. First and goal Stallions. They'll stop the clock while they move the chains, and then they can milk some more time off the clock. Remember, though, the Stallions have exhausted their supply of 3 timeouts.
They don't care. It's 2 minutes 11. They hope all 2 minutes and 11 run off the clock as they dance in the end zone.
Down to 2:06 already. They don't have to snap it again until about the 1:48 mark.
They're perfectly happy to let this clock run down.
12 on the play clock. 10, 9, 8, 7, 1:50 left in the half. Backs from an eye. Booth has got it, and he's drilled back at the 7-yard line.
It's just taken too long for that play to develop.
And then it was 2nd down and goal from back at the 7.
If they play fake it to Booth, and Sylvester bootlegs this thing out of here, he might walk in the end zone.
Or look for somebody like Corcoran, one of the tight ends, breaking
free. You could, slam release a tight end, and because the whole world is stopping Alonzo Booth here.
1:20 left in the half. Now 10 on the play clock. Backs from an eye again. Booth the deep man. And off to Van Fossen. Off the left side. Ty Van Fossen takes it in for the touchdown. 1:07 left to go. And Van Fossen gets the score. And DeSales takes a 13-3 lead in this contest. And talk about an unsung hero who does everything he's asked to do on offense and defense. He takes it in for the touchdown. His 6th carry on the campaign. Good for 20 yards and his first touchdown.
Well, what they did was they took Alonzo Booth, and on the snap of the ball, they sprinted him to the right, and both inside linebackers took 1 jab step to the right, and that was enough. And Van Fossen went to the left, and it was touchdown.
Ironically, Van Fossen has a touchdown, but it was as a receiver. A 60-yard catch against Edgewood. DeMaceo now to make it 14-3 with 1:07 left to go. The snap, the kick, and he sends that out onto the highway. It's 14-3 to DeSales. 1:07 left to go here in the first half. And what a performance by DeSales, and you hope that they can hang on for the next 67 seconds, then get the ball to start the second half and try to shorten this game.
Well, the good news is this kickoff should find its way into the end zone, which means you're going to start it at the 20 with 1:07 to go. And you know, this is a real tenuous part of the game for Hoban because they're going to want to get back in this thing and throw the football in. You know, if they throw a pick,
This game could get out of control real quick.
15 plays, 80 yards, 6:56. More than half the quarter elapsed during that drive as Van Fossen takes the last 7 yards. DeMaceo adds the PAT, and we stand at 14-3.
You know, Randy, I thought before the game we talked about the blueprint had already been established. Do what Hartley did last night. Well, it looks like DeSales is trying to do their best imitation of what Hartley did last night.
And it's not something that Hartley alone established, but something that's working in the playoffs for these teams.
Yep.
From Central Ohio, and we saw so many teams fall last night for Central Ohio. We were very fortunate, and God blessed us to allow us to do that Hartley game last night as they got the victory.
What a game. It's like football overload this weekend. If you're a football junkie, we are absolutely high on football because this has been a wonderful weekend for high school football and college football.
A reminder, you are listening to WVSG Columbus, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Glad to have you aboard with 107 left to go the first half. D3 state semifinal, DeSales on top now, 14-3 after the Van Fossen touchdown. DeMaceo has it teed up at the 40-yard line. And kicks it high and kicks it deep, but not deep enough. The return's going to start from the 5-yard line. Right up the middle, there's a seam. 15, 20, 25, up to the 28-yard line. On the return that time is Bauer. So Bauer found the gap and took it some 23 yards, and there's a player down on the field.
That's William Collier.
Yeah. Collier, one of the running backs, is down at the 28-yard line, and they'll come out to attend to him as he's lying on his back.
I was watching Collier on that play, and it was the irresistible force and the immovable object. I mean, the DeSales, and I didn't get the number of the DeSales player, but just literally just collided with him and crumbled him. And he's all right. A little woozy.
There was a seam at first there, it looked like, right up the middle for Bauer.
Oh, it was a huge seam.
And they help him off the field. Sibley actually is going to walk him towards the sidelines. Coming up at halftime in the highlighter, I will talk to the legendary principal, Dan Garrick, on Garrick's Corner, a new feature that we have here at halftime. So he'll be joining us here at halftime, plus Ryan has scores from all the other games in the playoffs so far in the state of Ohio for this weekend.
Two possibilities here. Hoban goes down and scores and closes the gap. Hoban throws a pick and DeSales does great things.
Or see none of the above. Clark wants to throw across the middle, waiting pick. For it. There's the pick. You called it. Jared Noble, 50, 45, 40, 35-yard line, and he got undercut big time on the play. Was that Yankovic?
That was Brandon Yankovic. I think the big guy was mad. He had to run those extra 20 yards to go get him, but, man, he tumbled him in a big, big way.
Noble with the pick and the return, and what do we talk about? Putting the ball in spots where it doesn't need to be and pressing sometimes.
Well, he tried to run the vertical route right down the seam, and there was a safety over the top, and the linebacker was running up underneath, so the ball had to go high. You know, in the NFL, they tell you to throw it right at the defender's helmet because that's where you'll either catch it or bang him in the back of the head, one or the other. And he didn't. He threw it over the top of the hat, and Noble was there to intercept. This is a huge 50 seconds now for DeSales.
18 yards on the return, his fourth pick of the campaign. First and 10 from the 35. It would be a 52-yard field goal from here. Remember, the Stallions have no timeouts. 3-2-1 on the play clock. They snap it just in time. Silvestri rolling to his left, 35, and brought down from behind at the 32-yard line. And they're going to have to hurry back to the line of scrimmage. Hit made on the play by Harrison Sanders. The Stallions have it at the 32. They're ready to snap it right now with 36, 35, 34 seconds left to go. They've got two wide to either side. Silvestri from the gun. Booth to his right. 29 seconds left to go. Hands it off to Booth. Booth's going to go nowhere. Brought down at the 34-yard line. 24 seconds left to go. Now they're probably going to have to spike the ball and look for a long field goal attempt. With 19, 18, 17 seconds left to go. Silvestri with 15, 14, 13. They have no timeouts.
He has to
12,
throw the ball past
11,
the first down.
10,
he's got to go.
He's got to throw it. 8, 7,
it's going to take too
6,
long.
5, 4.
Silvestri has to throw it.
That's going to be the last play of the half. He throws it downfield, up for grabs. Arnold's going to catch the ball, but be brought down at the 11-yard line. So a little problem with clock management in the waning moments of the first half. The Stallions needed to just spike the ball if they wanted at least a 50-yard field goal attempt.
Well, it would have been about 47, and, you know, you got to take your shot, but that ball needed to be thrown quickly. They needed to line up quickly and throw it quickly.
Still, if that's the bad news of the first half, you'll take it.
Absolutely.
Because if you're DeSales, you are up 14-3 at halftime of this D3 state semifinal. And what a performance, and You know, Larry, we talked about the rapid start. We also talked that Clark likes to force the ball sometime, and he did that a couple of times, and the Stallions made him pay.
Well, you know, when you have a great arm, and he does have a great arm, you sometimes think you can throw it through the car wash and it won't get wet.
Right.
And he's forced a couple throws here tonight, and he didn't have to force either one of them. And just live to fight again, and, you know, he tried to get a little hungry and a little greedy, and it's come back to bite him a couple times. But it's still only 14-3.
And again, we don't start the halftime until the officials go off the field. And right now they're walking gingerly off the field. They had some conversations.
They're meandering.
Yes, our referee, Mr. Solecki, was actually doing a moonwalk from the 30 to about the 20-yard line, and now he's turned around. He stands at the 15-yard line. We still can't crank the clock till he gives us the signal. They're waiting for the Hoban side to get their equipment off the field and meander into the end zone for halftime. And Mr. Solecki looks up and now says, crank the clock. So halftime has begun. With that being said, we will pause on the other side. And Garrick, the principal at St. Francis de Sales, will join us on the highlighter at halftime. And Ryan is keeping track of everything going on in the world of sports, and he'll update us on that at halftime as well, too. 14-3 de Sales up at the break over Hoban. This is the CTL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.